We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back. Doing a lot of Tom Petty music today. Tom Petty passing away yesterday. Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. We're glad to have you today. Want to remind you, coming up on Thursday night, the Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road yet again. We're going to be at Maxwell's in Cedarburg. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Yours truly, it's going to be Bart Winkler, Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, and then the Bud Girls are going to be there as well. Hopefully you get a chance to come on out to Maxwell's in Cedarburg, one of my favorite places to visit. Just love that place out there. See you out there, coming up Thursday night, 6 to 8. Joining us for the final time of the season, kind of sad to say, wish they were playing deeper into the postseason, but Brewers third base coach Ed Cedar joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Ed, how you doing, buddy?
Great. Good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. So, well, at least you know you got a job for another year. They announced everybody's coming back. When did they tell you you're coming back?
After on Sunday game, they let everyone know if they were wanted to come back, they were invited to come back.
Good. And you jumped at the chance, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. You always do. Well, come on. It would be, let's see, that will be going on, like, my 27th year next year.
Yeah, I was going to say you're one of the longest tenured guys. Who's been there longer, you or Marcus Hanel?
I believe me, but I'm not sure, because Marcus, well, in the big leagues, for sure, Marcus Hanel, but as far as overall, I believe I have them, but I am not sure on that.
So now that the season has come to an end, and it's disappointing, obviously, not to make it into the postseason, but we always hear in the beginning of the year, well, you know, it's early in the season, it's a game, blah, blah, blah. Well, you only miss the postseason by a game. So I guess lesson learned out of this is that every game, doesn't matter when it's played, April or August, they're all important.
Oh, yeah. You hear that from almost all sports, but especially like in baseball, when you play so many of them, people kind of go, we'll just sponge that one out. That's okay. And then when you look at it at the end, you're going, oh, geez, one game out. Let's see. Let's go look back. But we're not the only team that's probably doing that.
No, I completely agree with that. But I it was always one of those things that you'd hear a manager say, and both Tim Allen and I would start to pull our hair out, because we can see at the end of the season, you know, when you're coming down, you're a game or two back, you're thinking, oh man, if you just had that one back or this one back. But when you look back on a season when the team was expected to win anywhere from 70 to 80 games, to end up with 86 wins, I mean, can you, inside the clubhouse, did guys feel like they accomplished something this year?
Oh, yeah. And throughout the season, even in spring training, and actually even towards the end of last season, where, you know, we started to play a little bit better, you knew there would be good competition coming into spring training. There was that good, you know, counts, pitches, staying connected. There was that good camaraderie, even in spring training, right? You know, leading from, you know, position players to the pitchers, Latins, Americans, it didn't matter. Everyone was kind of like on the same page, where you had kind of a good feeling, but you were going, okay, is this just a good feeling because it's spring training? But it ended up being a pretty good feeling throughout the season. A lot of good seasons had by a lot of players, and next year just raises the expectations, and then next year we'll head into spring training, probably doing the same thing. There'll be some battling for spots. There'll be some new additions, some people gone, and I think Counts is the one that said, you're trying to make a suit, but it doesn't always turn out the same way.
Right, no doubt, because you can't carry over momentum. All you can do is hope that you can replicate what you did and build upon it, I guess. That being said, it all starts with pitching. So you feel like you have a good depth. I mean, granted, you don't get Jimmy Nelson back at the beginning of the year next year, but do you feel like you have a good depth of not only starting pitching, but overall pitching?
Oh, yeah, the guys that came up and mixed in after, you know, we went with like three or four starters for almost like 2 months of the season, if not longer. And, you know, you look for Chase and Davies, you know, be our strong suits, you know, Brent's going to contribute. And even the young guys that came up, Woody and Wilkerson, and who knows, there's always those people down in the minor leagues, our pitcher of the year. Name escapes me, right? Burnsy, who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, you might get something from Burnsy, or just, you know, there's always a couple surprises in spring training as well where, the pitchers are the things that kind of held our group together this year when we would go into those, we've stated it before, when we would go to the, you know, offensive dry spells, which happened.
When this team comes back together next year, I mean, I think the only questions are, who's going to emerge at second in center field, and then what's going to happen over at first base? Are really those the only areas that you would say right now? I'm not going to say the jobs are up for grabs because you kind of know who the front runners are, but are you really, are those the only positions that you feel that there's going to be this kind of battle for?
Oh, yeah. No, that'll be, you know, competition battles there. And then, like I said, there's always surprises. And, you know, heading into the, you know, the pitchers, you know, there's going to be some spots available for there. So it'll be another exciting spring training. I thought this year's spring training was exciting, just all the battles of who's going to do what, who's going to emerge as having a great year. Will he be able to reproduce what he did last year? You know, there'll be a lot of questions heading in, but that's what makes it fun. And like whenever there's competition in spring training, it makes it a lot funner. Well, for the staff, anyway.
So now what does that have going on? Do you just kind of go home and enjoy the baseball postseason for a while and catch a lot of Brian Anderson, or what is it you do?
Oh, yeah, Marcia and I will sit around, watch some games. Of course, we squirt the dog, getting stuff, you know, around the house here, you know, getting it ready, and then we'll be heading to Florida October 10th to hang out there for a while, and then go to, of course, Bill Schroeder Rock's fantasy camp, and then the on deck and all that stuff.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, it's not far off.
I got some rest and relaxation.
Yeah, good. You got a lot of that coming. Hey, by the way, speaking of Florida, so what ended up with the house? I know you had a little bit of damage. Is everything good?
Yeah, we believe so. We'll be more interested when we get down there. But, so far, all we know of is screen on a back lanai that was already loose, so we didn't even know if the screen was damaged or just came unraveled. Well, Marcia, who can do everything, will be able to put that screen back in. You know that.
Yeah, no, she's had to learn to do everything as much as you guys travel, man. I get it. Hey, when you look at the rest of the division, we were talking about the Cubs. Cubs have some pitching issues going into next season. They're going to have to spend some money and figure some things out. They lose a couple of guys. Obviously, there was a team like Pittsburgh that took a step backwards this year. Cincinnati's in a rebuild, and St. Louis ended up about where I thought they would. As far as the depth of the division, do you feel good about where you're at right now? That really obviously you always consider the Cardinals there, but do you feel it's really between you and the Cubs right now for the top spot in the division next year?
Oh, yeah, and I think it'll be a battle. Like you said, Pittsburgh kind of had a down year, but with their pitching that they have, you look for them to compete every year with Cincinnati's offense. I mean, I figure one of the better offenses, you know, towards the end of the year. I mean, you look at some of the numbers they were putting up was good. So I look at our division, and then you got St. Louis. Like you said, they're always around there. I'm sure they'll go out and do something to bolster their team. But I look for our division to be a pretty, probably a more solid division than they were this year with, you know, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh picking it up a little bit more. But, yeah, I look for us to battle again. And, you know, expectations will be probably a little bit higher, and we'll see what we got. In spring training, see, you know, we'll have to have some additions. There'll be some subtractions, and we'll go from there.
The team itself, we had talked about this throughout the second half of the season, about learning how to win, being a young team. And that term was used by Craig Counsell a couple times as well. What does it specifically mean when you talk about a young team learning how to win and handle success?
Doing the little things, you know, towards the, you know, as we know, we struggled like in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, but just being able to, you know, put the ball in play in a certain situation and learning when to take chances, you know, knowing the importance of your, you know, even on the bases, the importance of your run and, you know, a bunch of stuff like that, and learn how to, you know, be consistent with it and being able to get in that extra run when we need that extra run instead of always relying on the long ball. And you know, and just maybe I would think maybe get into more, you know, keep putting the pressure on and keep let's work on, you know, adding on. And I think when you talk about adding on, not necessarily by the homer, but just by, you know, hitting that ground ball with a runner on third with less than two outs where they're giving you that extra run, you know, doing the little things like that.
Ed, it's always a pleasure. If you had to pick a team right now coming out of the National League to head to the World Series, who would it be?
I would go with Washington due to how we talk about pitching. They, you know, you look on the boards when you're watching stuff, and they have three of the top ERA leaders, you know, as their starting pitchers. And, yeah, that's what I would lean for that. But you never know. You can't doubt the defending champs. You can't doubt the – you know, it should be very interesting.
Ed, great stuff as always, and hey, always feel free. I know you're out and about and you listen to the program. Anytime you want to stop by before you take off, feel free to do so, okay?
There you go. Sounds good. We might even think about doing that.
There you go, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Say hi to Marcia for us, and keep listening, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, will do. Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Ed Cedar, Brewers third base coach, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard and they'll treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Always good all season long to talk to Ed Cedar and kind of pick his brain. He's right as far as the young guys learning how to win. It's doing the little things late in ball games that you need to bring across another run, put a ball in play, something like that. It's the stuff that drove us crazy. It's just, you know, when you see guys swinging out of their shoes, it's the stuff that drove us crazy this year. When you just needed a base hit, you know, bases loaded, one out, you just need to put the ball in play anywhere, anything. And they just couldn't get runs across the plate. And that was kind of the bugaboo for this team down the stretch. When we come back, Jason Kidd, we're going to hear from him coming up. Also, we got a lot more. Adam McAlvey at the bottom of the hour from Brewers.com and MLB.com. We're also going to talk with Zach Heilprin, the reporter for 106.7 FM and 1670 AM, the Zone out in Madison. Talk some Badger football with him coming up towards the top of the next hour. A lot more of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Tweeter and the Monkey Man were hard up for cash. They stayed up all night selling cocaine and hash to an undercover cop who had a sister named and found out the hard way, nobody gives a damn. They knew that they'd find freedom just across the Jersey line. So they hopped into a stolen car, took Highway 99.
And the walls came down.
Welcome back to the program, Tom Petty. Tweeter the Monkey Man. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today, enjoying some of the music.
Traveling Wilburys.
That has spanned time. Yeah, I mean, he had Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He was on his own, just Tom Petty. And then he got in with the Traveling Wilburys. He had Wildflowers, I think he was a part of as well. Just a lot of terrific music. put out by Tom Petty. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. And a reminder from our friends at Cousin Subs, time to bring on the brisket. Try new mouth-watering barbecue brisket and cheddar with beef brisket, Wisconsin cheddar cheese, pickles, crispy onions, horseradish mayo, and barbecue sauce. Or the Wisconsin brisket and cheddar featuring beef brisket, the Wisconsin cheddar cheese, lettuce, the crispy onions, tomatoes, and horseradish mayo. You can order either online at CousinSubs.com. Download the app on your Apple and your Android phone. It's for a limited time only at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Good people over there. I still highly recommend the pepperoni melt whenever you get an opportunity to. Just throwing it in. We had last night the first preseason game of the Milwaukee Bucks, and Jason Kidd speaking, talking about it's good to be working hard to be on offense, defense, play this team into shape, so to speak.
When you look at the makeup of our team, the teams that have won championships play both ends. You know, Golden State and Cleveland, they know how to play. They're older teams. But, you know, we're going to continue to be aggressive on the defensive end. And, again, continuity helps with that.
And then he goes on to talk about, Chris Middleton, Giannis, 1A, 1B, the way this team is set up. These two guys are the straw that stirs the drink.
I don't want to say he's the number two guy. I think he's right there as your one, 1A, 1B. There's going to be nights where Giannis might be struggling. Chris, is a great compliment. Giannis is a great compliment to him. He's a great compliment to each other.
Also, he says when you're looking, to mentor someone, so to speak, Giannis, he's the mentor. He's that guy.
He's 22 years old. We're asking him to be himself, no one else, to go out and have fun, play the game at a very high level. And we're here as coaches and teammates to help you achieve what you want.
And Giannis, obviously not with the team last night because his dad had passed away. But does Giannis need that outside shot, a la Dirk Nowitzki, to be great?
I would say no. He's already great. And for some would say he doesn't shoot it well. We all think he does shoot it well because he does so many other things great. We try to nitpick at things that people can't do instead of supporting what they can do.
Now, he's not that big-time outside three-point shooter, but Giannis, he's right. Giannis does so much, so much else, so much other stuff great. And I'll be honest with you, Joe, I think that by the time his career is done, he's going to end up being a terrific three-point shooter.
Well, I mean,
he's not going to be a 48% three-point shooter, but I think he's going to end up being a pretty good shot from the outside.
Well, I just don't know how many three-point shots Giannis is really going to take realistically. I mean, it's not like he's going to be jacking up threes all day because there's so much more to his game. He just has to
That's usually the last portion of your game to fall into place, though, when you start working at it. Because once you start shooting from beyond the arc, everything inside the arc becomes that much better. And that's where I see Giannis excelling. But I do, I just by his work ethic, the way he is. Dwayne Wade, I didn't think was a great player coming out of college. He developed because he ended up saying, the only way I'm going to be able to, he couldn't play above the rim like he did at Marquette. So he still did, which is the reason his body's so beat up. But he had to figure out something else. And Giannis can do everything. So I think Giannis is going to work on that outside game as much as he does on his inside game.
The more confidence he has in that three-point shot and the more he can depend on it, depending on the situation, teams, it's going to be impossible to defend him. And that's really what's going to put him over the top as a superstar. That's really the bottom line. Giannis, man, are we lucky. God, are we lucky to have Giannis on the Bucks. It's about time the Bucks have a star and a soon-to-be superstar in Giannis. It is just, it's so cool. The one thing I will wonder as the season gets underway is, how will Giannis be able to go out there and play at a high level even after the passing of his father, because that's not easy to overcome. It just isn't. That will be something I'm very curious about. But you know what? Giannis, again, I expect him to take another step forward and lead this team to a playoff series win. That's where my expectations are right now.
I think the next step for this team is to get that win and then to go on from there. Now, Jason Kidd talks about Giannis and some of the criticism that others have for the outside shot, saying basically that, hey, look, nobody's got a perfect game.
We try to nitpick at things that people can't do instead of supporting what they can do. And at the end of the day, he's learning how to win at the highest level. And some of the greatest players that have played this game couldn't do something. There was never a player who could do it all. And so if he's the first to do it all, then I'm happy I'm on his side.
No doubt. I mean, you got to feel good about the way Giannis has progressed, and you would expect him just to get better. The other thing to remember with this team, they do have some veterans, don't get me wrong, but your core nucleus is still young, and they've got expectations that not only we've placed upon them, but they've placed upon themselves.
We've worked extremely hard to put ourselves in this position of the expectations, but being the second youngest team in the league, we still have to take steps in the right direction, and that's, you know, being accountable, playing hard, protecting your teammates, and having fun. And so if we can do those things, that'll take care of the expectations.
Now, here's the question, because people want to know when they're going to buy that extra free agent, when they're going to go out and make that blockbuster deal to put pieces around Giannis. At what point do you start? We talk about it all the time on this program, shoving your chips to the middle of the table. At what point should this team consider payroll-wise, getting up there, going over that luxury tax?
At some point, you know, we're going to have to make that decision. Is it the time right to now, you know, go over the tax? Or is it, you know, still, hey, keep developing and try to find a way to get as high or as far in the playoffs as possible with the group you have?
Then the other question is, with all the, you know, they're bringing in veterans. They're bringing in anybody that they can piecemeal into this thing that can maybe give you some experience. So why are there so many veterans signed that were late for that are signed late for training camp?
You know, we want the most talented training camp roster that you can have, you know, with veteran guys who can play and who can influence the younger guys of showing them how to work and what it really means to work. And so when you talk about the guys that we brought in, we feel that they fit the DNA of the Bucks and that they can help us during training camp.
So there you go. That's Jason Kidd coming out of Media Day. Bucks fall by two last night, 106-104, and fell to the Dallas Mavericks without Giannis, who is, attending with his family to the affairs of his father, who had passed away over the weekend. When we come back, we're going to talk to Adam McCauley. He's fresh out of the press conference down at Miller Park, the season-ending press conference with David Stearns and Craig Counsell. And we'll get his thoughts on this season. We'll kind of wrap things up. And we're going to find out where Adam's going to be, because I'm sure he's doing some stuff regarding the postseason as well. Stick around. We have more of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System. Best Brewers coverage. This is the Bill Michael Show. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McCauley. Brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services. Preparing vets to make an impact within their next mission through education. Find out more at cuw.edu/veterans.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We certainly appreciate you checking us out. Time to put a wrap on the Brewers season as their final end-of-season press conference has culminated. Adam McCauley of Brewers.com and MLB.com was down there at Miller Park. Adam, how you doing?
Hey, good. Tying a bow on the thing. The only news is that coaching staff is back intact. Other than that, I'm not certain there were any big surprises. They'll look at second base hard. They will look to add to that starting pitching depth with Jimmy Nelson missing. The way David Stearns put it today was a meaningful portion of next season. They don't still quite know exactly how much that is, but it's going to be a big chunk. And talk Keon Broxton, talk Johnny VR. So lots of interesting stuff to sort of keep us busy over the rest of the winter.
Let's start with center field, because I think there's three positions we were talking about earlier today that need solidification. And one being center field as to who that everyday guy is going to be, or what situation they're going to have going into spring training. Who would you believe to be? Is Brinson the front runner? Or because
no, I think we're looking at this. You know, I think this is an area where Council hammered this on us starting the first day in spring training, this idea of the position player group, and it kind of became a running joke. And then he backed it up by the way he managed the team throughout the season. I don't think we're going to get a starting center fielder. I think I'm going to do it the old way, where I'm going to write spring training content and come up with my best guess of the starting lineup, and I'm going to pick a guy to be that starting center fielder. But I just don't think that is the way they view this group. I think it's going to be Braun, Phillips, Santana, Broxton, Domingo Santana. in the outfield in some kind of a mix. And Hernan Perez, I think they're going to work on Jonathan Villar in spring training and try to give him some time to sort of get comfortable out there, because Craig Counsell said today he still thinks he can do it. He just wasn't able to do it on the fly this year. I think it's going to be all of those guys. And I think if you look at Ryan Braun playing 105 games, you look at kind of the left-right you have with Phillips and Santana, I think Craig Counsell will find a way to get ABs for all those guys. And injuries along the way will play into it. I think this is the one area where we're just going to have to look at this a little bit differently, and they're not going to name a quote-unquote center fielder.
So if VR is moving to the outfield, does that mean he is not going to be your second baseman?
No, but I think that's another one where we're going to have to sort of think of this group. It's like, you know, Ben Zobrist and Hernan Perez, we've thought of as these kind of unique utility guys. I think there's going to be a larger group than that of this on this team next year. And I think I do think they give Jonathan VR a chance to hit. It's, you know, hit next year and play his way into meaningful playing time. And that's going to be second base. Maybe it's shortstop here and there. And then, yes, they will put center field on his resume in case they need him out there as well. I don't think you give up on a guy after a bad year based on the fact he had such a good year the year before that you offered him $20 million. I just don't see, you know, completely giving up on that when he's a guy who's under club control. And yes, he's arbitration eligible for the first time this year, and he's going to cost more, but it's not, and they're in a place payroll-wise where he can fit and it doesn't kill you. I just think they're going to give him a shot to play. And if it doesn't, if you get into next season and it's not working, well, then you move to someone else. And I can't tell you who that is right now. I know it's a position that they will look at free agency-wise. You know, Neil Walker's a possibility, though he was really – I loved how upfront he was on the last day and saying he's played he's played parts of 9 years in the big leagues. This is the first time he's a true free agent. He's not encumbered with a qualifying offer. He owes it to himself, and he's earned the right to go out and see what is available on the free agent market. So he's going to do that. So he's an option. Sogard's an option to come back. Perez could play second base. You know, they have sort of internal and external, and then they'll look at other options on the market and trade. So that's kind of, to me, that second base position is the one that's most open-ended, but I don't think Jonathan Villar's days with this organization are over.
Well, that was going to be the next question. Is there the possibility then that we see, without Jimmy Nelson, do we see a deal for, say, made for a, now I'm not talking your frontline guy when it comes to pitching, but do you see them making a deal or two in the offseason to continue to bolster the pitching staff?
Yes. And I think, you know, one of the funniest parts in this press conference today was one of the reporters suggested, you know, having another small payroll next year. And Counsell joked, you know, he's like, well, I don't know about that. I think David's going to do something about that. So the manager is already tightening the screws on the front office to, like, you know, spend some of this money they haven't spent over the last couple of years while rebuilding, because they're in a position now where, you know, you've built a core and now you kind of look to bolster that core. So, you know, Yu Darvish, I would be very surprised if it's that tier, Jake Arrieta. But look, Lance Lynn is a free agent. He's killed the Brewers for how many years? I don't think he would, you know, he'd cost you, but he's not going to cost you the $150 million or whatever those big boys are going to get. And there is a group of that kind of a tier of pitcher that's available. And then I think general managers throughout the game of clubs that are in this sort of rebuilding mode have shown that they are willing to trade pitchers with club control. So those guys are also kind of in that second tier in terms of cost, but where you get them for a couple of years. And, you know, I think that's a possibility as well. So, you know, like Sonny Gray is one of those guys who did get dealt this year. The Brewers were on him. They were on Jose Quintana. Dan Straley from the Marlins is a guy who's got a couple of years of control. You know, you can invest, you can spend on a pitcher, but not spend $150 million on a free agent. And I think those are the types of guys they'll look at.
Talking with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. So, I get it. When I look back on the season and people that wanted to see David Stearns jump into the fray and start making deals, I think maybe the best deal he made was not making a deal. At least not for any of the big name talent you just mentioned, because it, while it was good, it didn't turn out to be great. And how many of those wins would have actually turned into the Brewers meaning making the postseason versus what you give up? And so I'm happy with what he did, and that is by not making a move. I think that might have been one of his best moves.
Well, here counterpoint, and I'm not, you know, look, I don't know the answer to this. Sonny Gray would have looked pretty good in that rotation in September versus, you know, Johnny Holstein.
Oh, that I agree with.
So, you know, the opportunity, you know, to get Jose Quintana, the reporting is Hader and Corey Ray plus. You know, David Stearns, if he wanted to do that, he could have done that and got a guy for this year and beyond and, you know, sold off a really, you know, some tough pieces to part with. And maybe it results in a spot in the wildcard game on Wednesday night. You know, there's no guarantees beyond that. But I think there are going to be fans who would say the opposite there, that he should have made a deal, looking in hindsight. Now, you don't know that Jimmy Nelson's going to go down. That's really hard to predict. You don't know that Matt Garza is going to totally crumble, because he was fine as a back end of the rotation guy for a lot of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And he just completely fell apart starting in August. So it would be hard, based on what they knew at the time, to predict how dire their starting pitching would have been in September, to the point where they're really, really asking a lot of that pen. But it was available to them. They opted not to do it. You know, they missed out on the postseason by one game. And now, I guess if you're looking at the positive side, it's that they have Josh Hader as a real weapon. And whether that's starter or relief, they don't know yet. It'll depend on what they do. They've got Corey Ray in the organization for a lot of depth. So they've still got all these pretty good players for the future.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but it, really next year all you have is $25 million committed. Now there's arbitration eligible guys, don't get me wrong for that, but what would you guesstimate this payroll to be? Are we approaching $75, $90, $100 million next year?
Well, look, I don't know the answer to that, and frankly, Bill, I don't think they know the answer to that yet. I don't think it's ever been Mark Attanasio's way of doing it, to set a number and then work backwards from that. Maybe some teams do that. I don't think that's the way they do it. I think they're more opportunistic about it, and it's going to depend on sort of what they're able to add. You know, he's shown he'll push the payroll. He's pushed it well over $100 million. So he's willing to go there if he feels like the situation is right. But I don't think he's going to, you know, write a note to David, you know, push it, write down a figure and push it across the table to David Stearns, and that's what David Stearns has to work with. So, that's going to be a pretty open-ended question, but your premise where you started from, I think, is right. They have the flexibility to go there if they want, because they have such limited commitments to the guys here. And yes, the arbitration guys, it's not insignificant. They have a pretty, you know, they have way more guys than they've had before. And as they get better as a team, that number is going to grow and grow and grow, because ideally these guys who are 0-3 contributors and making the minimum now, they're going to continue to develop, and then they become arbitration. And they're like Chase Anderson and Jimmy Nelson and Stephen Vogt. Jonathan Villar, I think, is going to be one of those guys who they cost a little bit more as you go along. So the payroll is going to get more challenging if they continue on this upward path as an organization. And I think that probably we'll start to see that this weekend, this off season rather, and that is going to push that number higher next year.
I look at two things. You know, I understand some angst where there was some managerial moves that people didn't agree with, and people feel that Craig Counsell might have been in over his head managing a bullpen or what have you. And I said, wait a minute, this is also the guy that got you there. You know, you're pretty happy with the season with 86 wins, where nobody expected this team to be. And we're not even into technically the third year of the rebuild. So, you know, my assumption is that, one, Craig Counsell is on very thick ice. He doesn't have any situation that could possibly see him, you know, heading towards the door. And I think he grew this year as a manager, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I think he also pushed – I think you can make an argument that he pushed the players forward. They asked a lot of a handful of players, and I would particularly point at the bullpen, because when you – analyze a manager's performance, I mean, honestly, we're mostly talking about the bullpen. You can, you know, distributing playing time for the hitters is another issue, I suppose. But mostly you're talking about how does this guy manage the pen. And he pushed some guys and asked a lot. And I think Josh Hader is near the top of that list. His role increased significantly in a rather short period of time, and they started to ask a lot more, and there were big-time challenges. You know, we saw him, he was all fastballs. He was not all fastballs by the end. He had to adapt to that. And they pushed Corey Knebel really hard. He was also very, you know, reliant on that fastball, and he became more of a pitcher kind of down the stretch, I think, and had to adapt. And, you know, I think he tried to squeeze as much out of that unit as he could. And, you know, you hope that the players benefit from that. They get now the rest, and they're physically healthy, but you hope that they benefit from kind of the grind of that experience. So, look, every fan base thinks their manager stinks at running a bullpen. I promise you, because I've gone around and I've watched how other groups of fans react to what Clint Hurdle does and what Mike Matheny does. In every city, there's people who are listening to sports talk radio who thinks their manager is an idiot at running a bullpen. So I think when you start at that place, you can look at the things Craig Counsell did to squeeze 86 wins out of this roster and sort of see why I agree with you. He's on very thick ice.
Optimism for next year. Where, I mean, are we talking expectation being the same, maybe taking a little bit of a step back, or projecting forward?
Well, I mean, I guarantee you the expectation of the fans is going to be playoffs. You know, it's 86 wins, and you're not going to expect a step back. You're going to expect a step forward. And once you get plus 86, I mean, you're in postseason territory. And that's going to be their big challenge. Travis Shaw was the only guy in the sort of aftermath of them being eliminated on Saturday night and Sunday who raised the idea that, you know, a regression is possible here. Teams have a great year. Players have a great individual year. And you have to figure in the idea that, you know, what is the possibility of regression? Jonathan Villar regressed hard this year. It happens. So, look, that's a possibility for this team, and that's what they're going to have to – that's why they're going to have to add. They're going to have to continue to build depth. They're going to have to make smart decisions about keeping as many of the players with talent as possible. You know, everyone wants to release Keon Broxton. Well, that's rather stupid because 2020 – you know, A-plus defense in center field. He struck out more than any at a higher rate than any player in baseball. So that's bad. Mm-hmm. But he's got how many plate appearances in Major League Baseball? There is room for him to grow. If he cuts down that strikeout rate, you're looking at a special Major League player. So to say release him because he had a bad year is just rather short-sighted. They need to have a much longer view of building talent and just get as many good players as you keep as many good players as you can to battle against the possibility of regressing next year as a team. 86 wins was way more than anyone expected. I think the most optimistic was 78 from baseball perspective. Vegas had 69.5 as the over under. You know, it is not a given that they win 86 again next year, but they're going to have to play under the fact that everybody is going to expect that of them, and how these players deal with expectations is going to be, I think, the big storyline going into next year.
Adam, great stuff as always, and you're not doing anything for the postseason, huh?
No, not this year. I am okay. Letting some of my teammates enjoy the being at the ballpark till 3 a.m., then being on a plane at 6 to go to the next city.
There you go. Okay, at least you got a plan, buddy. Enjoy your off time. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Give you stat of the day from App Royo coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This is the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We continue to play some Tom Petty music for you. As Petty passed yesterday at the age of 66 and had such a terrific career. So much good music. Time now for the Aparoyo stat of the day. We were talking about players that excelled and some players that regressed. One of the guys, and I was really happy to see, because we saw him come out of training camp last year, out of spring training, with that shoulder. He's a little bit banged up and didn't want to take himself out, didn't want to talk about it. Domingo Santana last year had a .256 batting average with a .792 OPS, .345 on base percentage. Ended up hitting 11 home runs, 32 RBI. Had a shortened season because of injury. Played 77 games. This year, 151 games. 30 home runs, 85 RBI. Struck out 178 times while taking 73 free passes. Intentionally walked twice. Ended up with 15 stolen bases, getting caught four times. But an average of .278 with an OPS of .875. Almost raising that thing nearly 80 points from last year, and had a fantastic season. That's the Domingo Santana that we were expecting last year, and he just got off to a slow start and pressed after the injury. So you talk about a guy that really took advantage of the opportunity again in 2017. That was Domingo Santana. That's your Aparoyo stats of the day. They make it simple for companies just like yours to implement SAP and big data solutions. So revolutionize your data and ignite your future with Aparoyo. Check them out on the web at APPROYO.com. APPROYO.com. Let's talk some Badger football when we come back, shall we? What is this team's identity? Let's get into that discussion. Zach Heilprin from The Zone out in Madison joining us next on The Bill Michael Show.
To Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.